I'm Arielle.
And I'm Ricky, and together we make the Bravo Critics. This is the place where we discuss pop culture news and all things Bravo.
We'll also have interviews with some really cool people, including some of our favorite Bravo celebrities. So grab a drink and hang with us. Everyone's a critic. Welcome back, Bravo Critics. Arielle and Ricky here for a special episode of the Critics Critiques. We are here to chat what we've been living for the past few weeks, and that is the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Part 2 at Bluestone Manor.
What's this up, week's Ricky? Episode is brought to you by the letters R, H, U, G, and T. I am, and the number 2. I am living for this show so much. I mean, I feel like I'm surprised by some of the people that I didn't know that if I was not necessarily dislike, but I was like thinking like, oh my gosh, like why would they pick this person to come? Why would they pick that person to come? But you know what? It's a solid cast.
It's like Eva, where we're like, she was the one where I was like, why is Eva here? She was really the one that I was like, this, what does not belong? But quite frankly, I have been enjoying her.
And listen, I never had a problem with Eva on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I was just like, huh, that's sort of an interesting choice. I mean, I know that the whole theme they are going for is like Ex-Wives Club. And like, it's sort of interesting because in some franchises, like, you know, you're getting like one OG and then one person that like joined at a later season. Was basically how it like breaks down to be, but it's like with Atlanta, it's like the OGs are like either people don't remember a lot of the Atlanta OGs that much. Like no one still talks that much about like Lisa Wu and people like that. But it's like Phaedra was definitely a good choice, and it's like I would have liked to have seen her with. I mean, I know that like Sheree's currently on, but I would have loved to have seen like her with Sheree or. You know, we obviously know where Bravo stands with NeNe, so we weren't going to get that, but that would have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where frickin' Frack currently stand right now. I don't think that they are on good terms, and I was glad that Bravo... This might be controversial. I was kind of glad to have Phaedra back on my screen. I understood it when they weren't bringing her back because she really did some foul shit. And I don't condone what she did, but I don't necessarily know if we know the full truth and if we ever will. So whatever, I'm not here to be the judge or the juror. I'm just here to critique the shit out of the show. Cause I live for Bravo, but that's what critics do. But I mean, I Phaedra is like the narrator for me. I feel like she is such comedic relief. Her one-liners are the best. I just fucking love her.
I do too. And you know what? I feel the exact same way. Like what happened with her and Candy and Portia, like that wasn't right, but it's like, okay, that's been a hot minute. Let's go ahead and try to give her another chance. She is amazing television. And I can't get enough of her. I mean, you know, we've been watching her on Girls Trip. And also, like, this last week, she was on The Real Housewives of Dubai. It's like, she's just popping up everywhere.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm living for it. So, I'm really happy to have Phaedra back on my screen. Obviously, Ultimate Girls Trip takes place at Bluestone Manor. So, the hostess with the mostest is our favorite, Miss Dorinda Medley. I mean, we love the woman. She always fucking makes it nice, even when she's cussing people out. It just says what it is. But I will tell you this. Vicky and Tamra are definitely not bringing it like I thought they would be. So who do we have? We've got, let's hit the cast, right? Everybody should already know, but we've got Dorinda, who's the host. We've got Jill, who came a day late. We've got Vicky and Tamra from OC. We've got Phaedra and Eva from Atlanta. And then we have Taylor and Brandy from Beverly Hills, who are both blasts from the past. They're already an odd bunch.
Yeah, it's such a wild bunch. And like, when I saw that cast lineup, I was like, I can already tell this is fucking insanity right here. But
I gotta tell you, I did not expect Dorinda to come in so hot. Like, she is coming in hot. Like, and I have to tell you, she's the Dorinda that we have loved and watched over the years. Just her getting in the mud. Like, she just doesn't give a shit. And you know what?
Getting in the muck, as Sutton would say.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like, also, Vicky, just Steve, this got filmed, what, the day after Steve broke up with her? And he was like,
he hadn't had sex in 13 months. I wanted to be like, okay, bitch, it's time to move on. Don't cry over it. Like,
Ricky, he was
living, you're not even crying over good dick.
He was living in her house in Puerto Vallarta without her. Like, what the hell?
I don't know. I feel like Vicky was such a downer for the first couple of episodes. And you know, Tamara wasn't really giving me everything I was needing either. And it wasn't until like a confrontation happened between her and Dorinda. But what really surprised me is Tamara crying in that scene, because I'm like, okay, Tamara, like, you have been in some wild ass situations. Like, is she just like maybe a little unseasoned from being out of the game? But it's like, I feel like someone yelling at her about eating in their room would make Tamara Barney cry.
Can I tell you, it was an attack on her character, which is how Tamara took it, which was not what Dorinda was meaning. Dorinda was just like, I don't know what y'all bitches do, but around here, we show respect and we read the really nice printed plaques that I took the time to print and put next to your bed, and we respect. Now, I agree with Tamara in one way, like, well, why would you put cupcakes upstairs in our room? You know what I mean? But it was part of the sentiment. Come downstairs and get a cup of coffee and have a cupcake and let's have our cupcakes together or something. It was really just kind of like a greeting gift. But I get it. If they're like, if you're worried about mice who are going to be upstairs in the room, then why take the food upstairs? So I do get that. But I feel like Tamara was like, you don't know how we do things in OC.
Yeah.
She took it and she was really trying to be respectful. And I think,
but she was saying she obviously doesn't know how to like handle Dorinda, because there are so many other ways she could have worded things where Dorinda wouldn't have felt the need to like be like, you know what? I don't know how you do it where you're from.
I actually don't even think that that's why I think that Tamara was just so caught off guard, where she's like, no, it's fine. Just forget it. Like, no, I get it. You don't. And when she was saying like, you don't have to go get the plaque, I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I got what Tamara was saying, and Dorinda really just did like, was like, you know what? I would have been the same way though as Dorinda. Maybe when Dorinda was like, and you know what? And now you don't need to come. That is like me. I'd be like, and now you don't need to come. Like, now I don't want you to work out at my exercise. And then when she didn't show up, I would have been mad that she didn't show up. Cause I'm like, how rude and disrespectful. See, this is all your fault. I'm unreasonable. So.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is like, you know, she did open her home to them and they are her guests and all that stuff. But it's like, this woman doesn't just like entertain that many people there that often. I mean, this is even bigger than some of the Roni casts we've seen. Cause like, I'm seeing parts, this house is so much bigger and has so many different rooms that we've never seen before.
Yep.
Wild to me.
It's like a maze. I had no idea how large that property was. Like, I knew it was big. But
and then they're going to like Brandy's room and they're going like downstairs, upstairs, like off into the corner. I was like, where the fuck is this?
I know. Phaedra's like, where did you go? Wait. She was like following her. She like lost her. She's like, oh, you're in here. And then when they did the aerial view, when they were on the hot air balloon on the most recent episode and they showed the entire property, Dorinda got emotional. Like, that was I got that moment for her. I really love. So we've seen, like Dorinda said, I know that we talked about this with Dorinda when we interviewed her, but I had said to her, I remember seeing at some point, I told her, and now I know where I saw it. I just saw it on season 7, because we're doing our season 7 rewatch right now, where Dorinda first joins Roni. And she says, this is the very first time you get introduced to Bluestone Manor. And that's where she referenced, you know, I bought this house. And my dad used to work here, and now I own it. My dad can come through the front door, and it's such a proud moment for me to be able to do this for my family. And then when she was up on that balloon, and she's like, "I to be able to keep this manor running after Richard died, I never thought I would be something I'd be able to do." She had that huge flooding at some point. Like, it's to see her overpowered with emotion in that moment, I liked it.
Well, and it makes me feel like when people are getting mad about how Dorinda is being about the house, they don't really know Dorinda, because I mean, like, we've read her book, we watched her on Roni, like, we're now in the rewatch. This house is so special to her. It's like literally her childhood dream home, and Richard got this childhood dream home for her.
This house is so special to me.
It's something so special to her, and it's like, she doesn't, like, you know, and people are like, well, she's probably eating and drinking in her room. It's like, okay, well, she owns the house. Right. Like, she can trust herself to make sure that dishes get taken down, or that she's not spilling, or whatever. She's
the lady of the manor, you know? Okay, can I tell you this? Let's talk about the butler that she chose. He's not great.
He's not great.
He's subpar at best.
Really, like, he doesn't even know the fucking rules.
And it's like, to me, how Dorinda has not got in his ass yet, I bet you after they were done filming, she was like, whoever sent this person to me, don't do it again. I mean, maybe because he was so nice, like, and maybe he was like pretty to look at and stuff like that, Marco. But he was not that great. He brought the food upstairs. He walked away when Dorinda was in the kitchen. Like, I loved when she had to punk his ass at the beginning, when she was like, all right, this is a rule. Obviously, you don't know what's up. But when the lady of the manor is in the room, you stop, you are present, you take notes, and once she leaves, you execute. I'm like, yes, queen. Like, right there. That is how I roll.
Yeah, and that's what I love about Dorinda. I mean, I've never heard... This whole group wants to complain the entire time about, like, how Dorinda is as a host and all this other stuff. I haven't really heard the other women, like, from Roni complain about that before.
No, never. But Jill said there was no food. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I've heard her saying that there's, like, no food.
Yeah, she's like, if you saw, I baked banana bread one time at... and we saw that at the beginning of this last episode. So how many episodes have we watched? When we're recording this, we have seen 5 full episodes. We got lucky with the first 3, and then we, you know, are just salivating for every last episode they give us. I think we only have like 2 more episodes, right? So yep. I'm really sad about that. And I think that we may do another episode, right? We should do one more episode of another critic's critique to touch base and close the season out.
Yeah, because I think that there's definitely going to be more stuff that happens. Because, I mean, the first 3 episodes were really good and there was enough drama. Like, I mean, the very first night we're there, we get Dorinda and the yelling about vaccines to Vicky. And she's like, well, if I say there's a unicorn that's going to be here at 11 o'clock, we'll see if it's here.
Yep. And then we got Brandy and Taylor arguing.
Which was, just felt like their classic fight.
What the fuck, though? When Brandy was like, it was the hardest year of my life. Your husband committed suicide. I was on that season.
Well, I like how Tamara was like, it was the roughest season for you because her husband died. Brandy's like, yeah.
No, I know. It was like they were trying to give her an out. And she was just like, no, and that's why I was like, I must be misunderstanding her. But we weren't. So that.
And like, it was just such like an awkward conversation too. She's like, well, I loved Russell. And it's like, okay, well.
Russell beat her.
It's like, I wouldn't go that far.
Russell beat the shit out of her and abused your friend and then killed himself. He was a horrible man. Yeah.
I think that's the thing that like still bothers me the most about Brandy. I mean, she's definitely like very entertaining, but like the woman seems like she really lacks empathy.
She is all about rage and regret. Rage and regret. That's how she rolls. So, I mean,
isn't her book about like drinking and tweeting?
What?
Isn't her book that she wrote like drinking and tweeting? Isn't that what it's called?
Oh, yes, it is. We should do that. So if we do our little book thing, we should maybe read her book.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. Right up our alley. So the mangina thing happened with Brandy and Eva too. Because Eva and Phaedra welcomed Brandy into what they called their barbecue club? Picnic club?
No, picnic club is like the white person version. It's like the cookout.
The cookout. Okay, whatever. So they brought her into the clique. She's basically part of the crew. And then Brandy went ahead and called Eva's husband a Mangina, or said, oh, he's not a Mangina, or I thought he was a Mangina. That's what she said. And nobody knew what the fuck a Mangina was. So that was funny and rude. And she's lucky she didn't get punched in her face. And I'm down with Eva, where she was like, I know she didn't really mean no malice because she just don't know no better. I'm going to give her this one time, but next, this is all you get.
But so, she's like Will Smith. She's like, keep my husband's name out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah, for sure. You don't talk. I mean, it goes back to Beverly Hills. Don't talk about the husbands.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what like everyone's problem literally is with Taylor, is like she talks about things that she's not supposed to talk about.
Don't come for my mom. Like, don't come for my kid. Don't come for my husband. She
always hits below the belt.
Yeah.
That's like always been my problem with Brandy, is like the behavior is always fun until it's not.
She's done such malicious things. I just told you, mom, husband, kids, right?
Yeah.
She went after Adrian's children and exposed everything that happened in Beverly Hills. And Taylor is like a dog with a bone. She will not let that go. Tamara's kind of like, okay, you need to chill. I'll tell you this. I like Tamara partying with Brandy though. When they got all drunk and she pulled on her shirt.
Yeah. It's funny because she was like acting like she wasn't going to do that at first. And she's like, hello, Denise Richards. And then like two episodes later, she is like all up on Brandy.
Did you notice on the recap, they showed that scene from the first confessional?
Yeah.
And then they go to the scene where she rips her pajama top down. And she's like, I thought I had pasties on. Surprise! That's like Tamara has broken like her foot on camera being drunk. Vicky, like, she's starting to whoop it up now, like a little bit. And that's where she's offending Dorinda, because she's like, where can we go around here? We're in this. Did they ultimately fight because she called the manor an old house? Is that where the beef came from after the show?
I don't. Well, I mean, that's like what the more recent beef was. But I think that
right now,
I think that it definitely didn't help how like Vicky came into the house, because she kind of came in with like stank face on, like, okay, why are we here? Which if I don't know if I've been recorded saying this, but I knew as soon as I heard that Vicky had to go to Bluestone Manor, I knew that her number one complaint was going to be that it was boring.
You did say that 100%.
Because I know, like, this bitch goes to Andalus and Puerto Vallarta. Like,
that's exactly what you said. And you're like, the other girls got to go to, a tropical island, and, you know, they're in a cold, you know, Bluestone Manor. And we talked about it on our podcast. And I think I said, well, it might have been the second wave of COVID coming through. I mean, they were lucky they got to go to the freaking Red Lion Inn. And it was so funny that they just played the Red Lion Inn on Ultimate Girls Trip, because they're doing it on season 7 for the first time. And so it's just like really great. It's all just.
But like, so, I mean, that's also one of the things, is like on the Ultimate Girls Trip, even though they were in like a tropical destination, they weren't like going to like clubs and stuff, because they mostly stayed at the house and did activities around the beach and stuff like that. So it's not like they really had access to more activities per se.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to clubs and stuff, is what I guess I'm basically getting at. So
they went to the conch house, right? So
yeah, they did go to the, that conch shack. And, but I was going to say, you know, I feel like if Vicky was such a fun person, it wouldn't matter where you are. She'd be able to just turn it up and they'd have a good time.
Can I tell you what I thought was so cute when Eva got to meet Vicky for the first time? Because she's like, oh my, when Eva goes, oh my God, it's the OG of the OC. I was like, she's like, I want to whoop it up with her. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing, because she's totally excited to meet Vicky. And Vicky goes, oh, you're so sweet. Eva had no clue who she was. Never heard of her, never saw her, never met her, don't know who she is. And it's like, Phaedra didn't know who Jill was.
That was when she's like, I know that lady.
Yeah, I've seen that lady before. And that was the thing. She said it was such, like, she just, I've seen that lady before. Huh, I know her. It was so good.
It's amazing. And you know,
what'd you think of that? The whole recreation of the...
Hi, it was a total, just
a flop.
It totally flopped. I saw what they were going for, and I got a little excited for a second, but I was like, this is almost more cringy than the very first time it happened, because at least the other women were like talking.
Well, at least the first time it was real.
The women were kind of like, what's happening?
Well, and I also would say, look, so the first time it was like real and we had like the dagger to the heart because she was with Bobby and they and Bethany was there and it was like such a pivotal moment and a real line in the sand in the Roni franchise. And here the women didn't even understand the reference outside of Brandy, quite frankly, and Dorinda. And Dorinda totally let her kind of flop. Dorinda, not totally. Dorinda tried a little bit, but she didn't roll out the red carpet and do a parade. But Dorinda was very kind, I will say, to her, and was like, tried a little bit to pump the girls up, but the girls didn't even know who she was. But I felt like, was that production that did that to Jill? Was it Jill's idea? She wanted to wear the t-shirt. Where did this come from? Did production set her up?
I think it was sort of Jill's idea. And then production went with it? Okay. From what I understand, she called Andy on her way to the house and was like telling him like what she was going to do.
Wait.
Because like Dorinda was in on and knowing that she was coming, but no one else knew.
Right. And she hid the room.
Yeah.
And close the door.
But so Jill was saying that she was going to do like the exact same like surprise thing as opposed to just like showing up. I think Dorinda helped her, you know, get the manicure staff by the pool. It definitely flopped. And, you know, I like Jill and all of that. I just feel like she's only just now starting to bring it a little bit. You know, she's starting to fire back when Dorinda is coming for her. But it's like something clearly, I mean, and they are barely touching on it, but something clearly has happened between these two women.
Well, we're seeing what it is. I mean, we're hearing a little bit more of the most recent episode where apparently
it feels like it's probably going to end up being a lot of like, she said.
Or, hey, you didn't let me film with you, and you were. I just will say.
But I mean, that's one of the crazy things about Jill is she's usually like, she's like, I don't care about all that. And then she's like, but you weren't letting me filming with you.
Well, do you remember when we interviewed Dorinda? It was obviously before Ultimate Girls Trip came out, and we asked her about the Jill thing, and she gave us a little bit, but she kind of played it cool. But I will say this, she did mention, she made a comment going, Jill was in like every season, even though she wasn't a castmate. And so basically giving a little nugget, like she was thirsty. She always tried to pop up wherever she could. And then they talked about Bobby's funeral. Oh my God, Ricky, I'm like cringing.
I was cringing too. I was like, come on, Jill. Like, you, this didn't just like Bravo didn't make this up. I mean, you're basically calling either like Andy and Bethany are both liars by this telling of the story.
I mean, Andy might have lied.
I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's the, you know.
I'd like to hear her say it though.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say something, but I won't. So,
because I mean, let's get real here. You think that like Andy wouldn't have even potentially been part of those conversations too with Jill? I mean, what? 100%. The studio is like having one of their little peons just message Jill's assistant and stuff.
After Bobby died. Yeah. Yep. It was so informal. And they were just like, yeah, see if you can get, you know, Bobby's funeral on the schedule. You know, see if you can swing them in 10, 15 minutes. We already had the schedule cemented. No, that's not what happened. But I'm just saying, I feel like the whole thing was like a little weird to me because they were mic'd.
Mm-hmm.
Jill was mic'd.
And her face wasn't blurred out, so she signed a release.
Unless she didn't
know that it was coming, how awkward. She signed
a release for the season to be like pop in and out or something like that. There could have been, but maybe would have, unless they were standing over them with the mics, like over them where the big microphone was over their head, then maybe they could have got her that way. And maybe she like wasn't mic'd. I can't, this is a thing. I love Jill. I'm a Jill fan. Jill is one of my number. Jill is probably my number two all-time housewife, right? So I really feel like she may have done some thirsty shit throughout the years and maybe wasn't always perfect, but she's not a bad person and she loved Bobby so much. And I don't necessarily think that her that she did anything like that she would have done something to like exploit that situation. I think that she would have been engulfed with grief to even, she loved that man. They were together for a long time.
But then she started dating Gary 2 weeks later.
I know, my God.
Then Dorinda drops that one too.
You can tell it's true.
Yeah.
Because Jill doesn't deny
it. She's sort of like, well, I already knew him.
Well, I also think that, oh my God, I know. It's so rough.
It's just weird because you
I don't want to judge.
Like, yeah, I don't want to judge either. I mean, but it is a sort of interesting that we have three widows on this cast.
But why are they not bonding over Richard and Bobby and
Russell? I mean, I can see maybe a little bit more why not Russell, but that's where Eva is sort of bonding with Taylor. But it's like both Jill and Dorinda had like these horrible things happen to their men getting sick.
I did like the Eva Taylor bond.
Yeah. That's,
I like that. I don't know. And then I feel like Tamara and Vicky are just like, I feel like Tamara really has already attached herself too much to Vicky. And while she has tried to distance herself, it's still a little too much. So I think that Vicky and Tamara, well, rumor on the street is Tamara's coming back to OC, but Vicky's not. And Vicky, apparently there was that text that went around that Vicky is like, I'm not jealous of you and I'm happy for you if it's true. And it's like, blah, blah, blah.
It's like, sure, Jan.
Yeah, sure, Jan. So are we missing anything? So we've got Brand.
Because she also like recently in like an interview, it's the same one, I think, where she was calling that house old and in the middle of nowhere. I think that that was also where the fight between Teddy and Vicky started, because Vicky doesn't like that Tamara's doing a podcast with Teddy.
I don't like
that. Apparently, Vicky went as far allegedly as like calling Teddy's boss to try to get her replaced herself. But it's like, fucking Teddy sucks, man, though.
Yeah, fuck Teddy. She's annoying. But I will tell you this. I enjoy that. Vicky going after Teddy. Yeah. Okay, so is there anything else that we're missing that's like been big that's happened? Like, we've got Brandy fighting with Taylor. We saw that whole Russell thing. Brandy and Dorinda went at it a few times.
Yeah, and I mean, that's sort of like where we've left things now is like a huge blow-up, because of course Brandy again wants to talk about Taylor's husband's suicide and just saying some of the most like cruel and insensitive things. Like, you know, a lot of these women say bad things and they bleep it up, but they literally cut the audio completely during that little phrase.
They totally did.
And that's really bad.
We were texting as this episode was airing. And you were like, Ariel, shit was so bad, they bleeped it out. I'm like, oh my God, I know, you're right. I saw that. It was wild. But I mean, okay, let me ask you, how do we feel about people coming after our girl, Dorinda? I mean, I feel like we got to defend her here.
I know. We do love Dorinda. And, you know, I can see why some people might think the behavior is unhinged. But it's like, look, some of y'all are Erica Jane fans. You don't care how unhinged she's getting. You don't care about how unhinged Brandy's getting.
And I don't feel like she's hurting people. She's not hurting people. Like, when Jill broke down and cried, that was not the moment. Jill should have cried at another moment, but not that moment.
Yeah, and it's sort of funny because I always like to, you know, of course, be Team Tree and all of that stuff. So I was pointing out to Ariel that, well, anyone that's a fan of Jackie's and likes her analogies can't get mad when Dorinda starts making analogies. Because it's almost like, oddly enough, it's almost like the same situation where it's like, okay, well, you started this rumor. Well, that'd be like me saying Gia does cocaine. Because then, death is a lot more fucked up, especially to bring into it. But it's like, I know Dorinda didn't mean any harm or any foul wishes upon people. She was drunk and she accidentally took it too far, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dorinda's really taken down the martinis. And so I'm surprised because she's breaking her two drink rule.
Yeah.
and she's going for her third martini. And we've already been down that road. So I'm like, come on. Come on, Dorinda. So yeah. I'm curious though, but I will tell you this. They have turned Bluestone Manor into like an event center. You have to think she's had to ensue 5 days of bullshit getting everything set up before these ladies even came. They're disrespecting her house. They're not necessarily being
enthusiastic
about being there. They're disregarding her rules. It's just, I feel like it's just stacking on top of each other. And she's used to dealing with one breed, which is the Ramonas and the Luann's and the New York gals. And I think that's what Dorinda meant when she's like, I don't know how you guys are in like the OC, but you know.
Because it did almost make me think like, wow, are some of these other women from the other franchises kind of snowflakes? Because like Dorinda goes off the rails on those New York women and they're just like, okay, sorry, Dorinda.
Yeah. You know what? And that's the thing though. Like, look at how everybody reacted to Ramona when they were on Ultimate Girls Trip 1. And Luann's like, oh, that's just Ramona. Like they're used to, and then, you know, they're used to dealing with certain types of individuals. And when they're outside of their immediate circle, others aren't as receptive. Perspective is everything in life, you know? And these women are coming into Bluestone Manor, and Dorinda thought they were going to have one perspective, how most have come in, and these other ladies came in like treating it like a hotel. And that is
what... For a Roni watcher, we know that it's an iconic location, but all those women are like, where's the Berkshires? I've never heard of this Greystone Manor.
I know.
Like, all right, now you're just being a cunt.
I know who was excited. Oh, but Brandy was excited to go to Bluestone Manor because she knew it. And
Brandy and Eva are like the fans, more or less.
Yeah.
They watch the shows, like you said, with the whole Eva and Vicky thing in the first episode. Like, they're both like watching the show from like a fan's perspective.
I'm like, even you saw like Tamara like pick up a stone out of like the jacuzzi area and she's like, this needs to get fixed. Like, Brandy and Eva would have never done that. They would have like made sure it was like nice and leveled and nobody would have noticed it, you know? And I feel like the others were trying to like, this old manor. And I feel like if Jill doesn't step it the fuck up, nobody's going to remember. And this was her moment. I was like so excited for Jill to come back.
I know everyone's talking about like this was Dorinda's chance to come off of Unpause. But I mean, it's sort of the same way with me and Jill. Like I just need more.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this moment for like 10 years.
People are saying Dorinda is coming in too hot and that she's still very angry and that she's very thirsty. And so that's the story that some people are taking. I don't fully agree with that. So, I mean, and if you have a problem with that, oh well, like I'm a Dorinda stan. But I also feel like as being a super Jill fan, I wanted more from her. So I'm a little disappointed, but we still have a few episodes. So the verdict is still out. I will tell you, I enjoyed Jill more this last episode.
Yeah. So
we'll see how it goes. But so far I'm really enjoying it. And I think that it definitely beats Ultimate Girls Trip season one.
I know. I don't think... Let's go ahead and just very quickly, last thought here. They're about to start filming Girls Trip 3.
Oh, yeah.
And on this trip, we have Tinsley, which I love. Leah McSweeney. they have Whitney and Heather from Salt Lake City. I'd rather have maybe Lisa Barlow. And instead of Leah, I'd rather have Sonia.
I don't want Whitney, for sure. Whitney's boring.
Yeah.
She tries too hard.
Jen would be really good on the show, but I think that she's not allowed to leave the country. I mean, I guess her trial actually starts, I think, the same day that the show starts, Eric, which is wild. Her two friends are like, okay, bye.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And then we get Marisol and Alexia, which is going to be fun. And then lastly, we have Candace and Giselle, which I feel like I don't need Candace there. And I sort of don't like that they're almost like, it feels like they're almost rewarding her bad behavior.
So I was a Monique fan, but I'm kind of glad they put Candace up in there to mix some shit up for real. Like, because she really will speak up if some shit's popping off. Unlike Giselle, who's just like tries to be entertaining, messy, and she's just, Giselle annoys me. So it is what it is. I mean, she's
pretty predictions on who's going to have a fight.
Either Leah and Candace are going to be girls. Or they're going to go at it. Who else do we got?
We have
Tinsley. She's not going to get in a fight with any. Tinsley and Candace might get into it.
Yeah.
That's how we bring Candace, right? Because she will stir some shit up. But for real, because she just like does it. I don't feel like Candace is an asshole sometimes, but she's also, she does call a spade a spade.
I would have liked to have seen Janelle and Karen.
I would have rather seen Candace and Karen.
That would be kind of funny, too.
Yeah, because the more I think about it, like, Karen and Giselle already just give us what they give us on Potomac. They're just going to give us that, like, freaking frack kind of, oh, let's fight and be a little petty. But, I mean, we can only take so much of it. I don't think I want to see it on Girls Trip and on a season of Potomac, because then I'm going to be tired of y'all. So, I think it's – Candace is the right one to pick right now.
Yeah, I could have also maybe done without Salt Lake City. I feel like we could have swapped in another city. Just because, I mean, Heather and Whitney don't really give me enough.
Nothing. They give nothing.
They're both, Salt Lake City, those, I mean, first of all, Salt Lake City is one of the most toxic housewives, but I feel like the women are also so produced. They all know what they're doing.
Well, I think had they put Heather in, like, by herself, like they did Kyle, and, like, put her in with the Sharks, Heather would have she wouldn't have been able to self-produce, and she would have had to redesign her entire like game, and it might have changed her as a character like forever if they threw her in there alone. Her and Whitney might be interesting because they don't fucking get along right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna see how that goes. I think that's pretty interesting, but I would have even loved like
unless they made up.
There are very few people that I'd want to see from Beverly Hills in there. I could deal with I would definitely, I think Garcelle would be fun. But it's like, it's hard to say who, I don't know. You obviously want people that are going to have.
Is Rena there?
No, thank God. That was like one of the early rumors, is that Erica and Rena were part of it.
Yeah, I remember that. That's why I was thinking that. Okay.
I don't think they had any of the New York ladies listed.
I hope that they bring back some of the Dallas ladies. Like, I'd love to see like a Brandy and a Stephanie on Ultimate Girls Trip. I think they'd be so fun. Oh, I love them. I love Stephanie and Brandy. So like, I would love to see them. Like, fuck Cameron. But I would love to see Stephanie and Brandy on Ultimate Girls Trip because they are fun. I want to party with Brandy. I want to like flip my hair. Brandy and Kyle would be fun together.
Kyle from Beverly Hills?
Yeah. And Brandy Redmond.
I don't know.
What?
Kyle, I'm not a fan of like really anyone on Dallas. Like, it's,
see, I loved, just
watched it.
I love,
see, it. I live in Oklahoma. I fucking hate Texas.
See, I love,
and these bitches are such Texans. Like, Stephanie's from like a city that's like 30 minutes away from me.
No, I mean, like, I'm a Stephanie stan. Like, I loved Dallas season one and season two, but season one was the best. But yeah, it was a great franchise until it wasn't.
See, maybe also instead of bringing Salt Lake, they should have done like Sheree and Marlo.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Candy hasn't gotten to go on one yet.
No. I feel like she's probably way too busy.
Yeah, she's
like, you guys can't afford to send me away for 7 days.
Exactly. You guys can't afford me for sure. But all right. Well, I mean, I feel like it was a really impactful and plentiful last 5 episodes of Ultimate Girls Trip. And I think that we should definitely touch base and give our thoughts at the end of the season. But this was a fun episode, right?
Yeah, it's definitely really fun when you get to talk about other things with you guys. And we promise we're going to try to step it up more and give you more of these little small episodes. So make sure that you are following us. Myself, that Bravo Gay. Ariel is at Bravo and T. And you can also follow at Bravo Critics to see what else we are cooking up and anything that we have coming up. And then also make sure that you rate, subscribe, and comment on our podcast. And you can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Yes. So,
until next time, guys. Cheers.
Everyone's a critic.